Welcome to Low Standards and Pours. It's Sunday, September 13th, 8 minutes after nine, broadcasting from Detroit, Michigan. We're waiting for our host to come on, and there he is. El Carpe with the whatever.
Hey. Yeah. This will be a lot of that kind of whatever stuff.
Yeah.
This is that kind of day.
Eights and 12s. No more six and sevens.
Hey, ooh, hey, that was a good one. I like
it. I just feel together really quick.
Yeah, well, not a bad job there, young man. Pretty well done.
What's the 411?
Well, I have some good news. Some very good news. I have it on good authority that the world is going to be back to normal very soon, and here is the exact reason why.
Oh, God, we're all just waiting to hear this.
The reason everything is going to be back to normal soon is because I just watched the Lions play today.
And dropped three touchdowns in the fourth quarter?
They did exactly what they've done every year to make them consistently crappy.
What is that? I don't get it. What is it about that team that they can't hold it together in the fourth quarter?
They play three quarters.
I don't get it at all. No,
they're a three-quarter football team.
Yeah, but
that's all there is to it.
What goes through their head in the fourth quarter? Like, oh, we got this in the bag, and what, they just kind of like do whatever? I don't get it. It happens every time.
Yes, and that's why I'm telling you, the world is going to be back to normal because the Lions are doing exactly what they're supposed to do, sucking wind. And so because of that, I think there's going to be some normalcy returned to the planet because the Lions suck. And they still suck.
If they sold the team, I wouldn't even care. I wouldn't. Turn that stadium into a equestrian horse riding championship thing, whatever you want to do with it.
Right.
I could care less. I have no interest in watching the Lions. They're terrible. They're absolutely terrible. And it comes down to coaching. All those guys are talented. It comes down to coaching.
I think I think there's something more to it. But honestly, I watch the Lions because I know what to expect. It's all right.
How can you do it to yourself?
It's become this thing where, you know, it's predictable. This is exactly what's going to happen. There's no surprise. There's no surprise whatsoever. It's just how are they going to do it?
At least when Michigan loses, they just lose. You know, I don't watch state too much, but when Michigan loses, they just flat out lose. The Lions, they can hold it all the way to the fourth quarter, and then they go on like a vacation or something. And they give it up every time.
It's hilarious.
They could be – I don't know how many games.
See, the problem is you take football too seriously. I could give a shit. I find it comical.
You watch them, I don't.
No. I watch the Lions because I know what's going to happen. It's predictable. It's comical. And the best part about it is trying to figure out, all right, well, how exactly are they going to screw it up this time?
Yeah. I'd rather watch pool.
Well, I'd rather watch pool too. Billiard. It wasn't on. Yeah, I know. It wasn't on. So
I watched. I gave up the Lions. You might want to give up the Lions. I'll be perfectly honest with you.
Why?
And for anybody listening that's not related to us that could really give a shit, you want to give up the Lions? I'll tell you when I give up the Lions. Mm-hmm. I gave up the Lions way back, and you know what I'm talking about. When they used to black us out because they couldn't fill the Silverdome because they built too big of a facility. Right. Shame on the 14. And I'm like, this is effing ridiculous. So I watch the shitty Red Wings. And I think that's where the Red Wings got their following. I really do.
Well, and then they got good.
The Red Wings were crap, but everybody watched them. Yeah. You know?
They had a following long before
the Silverdome
issues. But yeah, it became Hockey Town. But the reason I love the Lions is for the one season where they had the perfect record.
They did?
They lost
in the playoffs? They lost the first game of the playoffs?
No. They had a perfect record. They lost all 16 games.
Oh, right.
That to me put the capper on it. I thought, all right, these guys are the cream of the crap. They're the best of the worst. They're the best of the worst. They're horrible. And they've proven it time and time again. But now they essentially have a trophy for sucking. And so because of that, I respect them as a shitty team.
They're always in competition with Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay sucked like that too. But
yeah, the Lions actually went ahead and was the first team ever to lose 16 games in a season.
Really?
Yes. They're the first ones that did it.
I know.
Well, I only know that because it's my Lions, and I'm like, that's just awesome. You know, I'll never buy a ticket to go see a game unless, you know,
I never have.
One of my kids is playing or something. Or there's some, you know, reason that will help the community. But I'll never just go and buy a ticket to go watch a Lions game.
When I was a kid, I bought a lot of Michigan game tickets because my buddy used to get them, so I had to pay him back. But I probably have seen, I don't know, maybe 30 Michigan games in my life since I was a kid. Probably the last 20 I never paid anything for because I was always invited and they never wanted money and it was always a nice gesture. The Tigers, when they were playing better, I'd spend some money on the Tigers, you know, sit and enjoy like a matinee game or something, or a night game, and just, you know, go enjoy them for a little bit. And it was always like, if we went to the Tigers game, it was never from first pitch to last pitch. It was just kind of get there, go hang out, get a dog, a couple beers, then take off and go to the bar. You know, that's kind of the way we watch the Tigers game. You know,
because baseball is a general yawn fest to me.
Yeah.
There's some people that like the pace of that game, and that's great. Great for you. I have no interest in the stats. I have no interest in these people. I have no interest in the guy, come on, hit the ball long. All right. So that happens twice in a game, maybe. So I got to sit through 9 innings of this crap. This guy throwing really fast and picking his schnoz on the mound. Yeah. And adjusting his privates 17 different ways before he throws the ball again. I'm like, I'm not interested.
I get a lot of crap for, I'm a big race fan, and people are like, well, how can you like racing? And I'm like, well, it's like some other things. It's like you have to appreciate, it's kind of like billiards. There's an art and a skill to billiards. And if you play it, you can appreciate it. I'm not a racer, but I do know that those guys risk their lives every day. And they get paid not by a win, but overall as a salary, at least in Formula One. But I kind of get off on watching those cars go by, especially like Formula One. They go by you at 220 miles an hour, and it's a sound like you've never heard before. And it's a smell, and it's a whole kind of thing that goes on. Would I want to go every week? No. Would I go every year? Yeah, maybe once a year. It's enough.
I went a number of years to the Detroit Grand Prix. It was interesting.
Pretty cool.
Still not my bag, because
No, it's
if you're actually there, you only see like you're at one turn and you see, zoom, and then 12 minutes of nothing, and then zoom,
right,
and 12 minutes of nothing, and then I might as well be watching baseball.
Yeah.
No, but I'll watch it on TV because I can. They'll show the whole race, which is kind of why you want to see the race.
Yeah, I'll watch. I watch Daytona. Which I think is kind of a shit show, but
left turn.
I watched Daytona.
Left turn, Clyde.
Yeah, and it's left all restricted plate, I think, isn't it, Daytona?
Left turn.
Or is that
left turn?
I don't know. Left turn, Clyde. You know, that's a movie that I need to watch again.
Any which way you can.
Any which way but loose.
Every which way but loose, any which way you can. And there was a third
yeah,
one.
Yeah, those were all classics.
Yeah.
I think there was two or three of them. It was two, wasn't it? The first two were excellent. I mean, they're funny as hell.
I think there were actually three because they didn't learn how to do like Smokey and the Bandit did the same thing.
Yeah.
You stop.
That went from good to terrible.
Yeah. You're supposed to stop at two.
Right, right. That's about it, too.
Right.
That's the truth. So it sounds like you had a busy day.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, go over to my brother's house yesterday after work and we cut down a tree.
Yeah.
Right.
And did you chainsaw it or did you hand saw it?
I didn't do any of the cutting because that's not my skill. Oh. Okay. But we roped it off and it was a huge ass maple that hung right over his house.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, how are we going to do this? Well, we roped it off. It's a super, you know, 8 million pound test strap to one
yep.
And picked up this, it was like, I don't know, 100 foot long and picked up the slack with his van tied to the toe ball. And
yeah.
It basically, he cut the notch and then cut behind it and it snapped. It left, you know, he hit the gas on the thing and it went exactly the way we wanted it to go.
Yeah.
Remarkable.
It didn't fall.
It fell exactly where he wanted it to go. And I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And so then we spent the rest of the evening trying to cut it all up and clear it out. And just
kind of makes you feel like a man, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes you feel like a man, but it also makes you realize how old you are.
Yeah.
Because all day today, I mean, I got up this morning.
You're all sore.
Went back to work and then, you know, finished work, came home. Cut front lawn, back lawn, and you know,
you know, you do have living kids for that.
Yeah, but that wasn't gonna work, and they had to help me install the microwave.
Oh, okay.
Because we got it over the that finally came in, and
over the stove,
over the stove microwave, and you got to mount the thing and do this and that and the other, and something wasn't working right. Well, finally, you know, it's what 8:05. I text you. I'm like, I finally sat down. Like, holy crap.
That's a long day.
Yeah. It was a long
day. It was a long day. My dad, going back to the tree thing,
my dad
was a badass. We had a maple tree in the backyard, and he had to take it down before they're getting a pool put in, in-ground pool. And this is back in the early 90s. And my dad was, I don't care what it I don't care what it's going to take, but I'll do everything I can to do it myself before I'll hire it out. He was that kind of guy, you know.
Right, right.
And I think it split in three. So it had three trunks. And part of it was over power lines to our house, the neighbor's house.
Right.
Part of it was over the house itself. But between my dad and I, and I'm talking, this is 90s. So he's probably every bit of probably mid-50s. But my dad, man, we took down this tree. This thing was probably 60 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
Took it down all in pieces. Like you said, tied it off, pulled it, whatever. It was in the backyard. And then he made me dig out the stump, which took like literally a week because of the root system.
Right.
And I had to get everything out. Well, this is what he told me. I have to get everything out. Come to find out, the excavators came by and they were talking about the tree that was gone. And they're like, we could have dug that out for you. You didn't take that out. I spent like a week as a kid. Yeah,
they're gonna dig the hole.
For
the pool, they're gonna have to pull that thing out anyway.
Yeah. So this was
your dad was trying to teach you a lesson.
I think so. This is the whole thing. So we lived in a like everybody else in a postage stamp lot, and my dad orders this pool. Guys come out and they talk to my parents about putting this pool in, and it was 32 by 18, and it had steps on one side and a hot tub built in the other side, and they couldn't put it in the year that we wanted to, and we put it in the next year. So they come out in the spring, or it was scheduled to be put out be installed in the spring or to start digging or whatever. They do a layout and a survey and all that stuff. And I think it was like maybe even June. And my dad, as soon as the ground broke, got softened up, he's like, we're going to go out, we're going to put a shed up because we need a shed for all the pool equipment. Mm-hmm. And I think the tree was already down. And then I think, if I remember correctly, he wanted to put a deck in. And I'm like, I said, Dad, I said, the guys have already been out here. I go, you know, why don't you put the deck in and the shed in afterwards? They could pour you the pad for the shed. Just put the shed on top of the concrete pad. Oh, no, God damn it. It's got to be done right now, you know? So anyways, long story short, we end up putting this in, the deck and whatever, the shed. And he built the shed on top of cinder blocks. And he built it. It was like 6 inches lower than the elevation of the pool. So right. The guys come out with big, you know, digging machines, backhoes and stuff. And they're unloading. And they go back and they're like, what in God's earth is this stuff? Like, where'd this come from? Right. My dad's like, what are you talking about? And so he's like, this stuff wasn't here the last time we were here. And my dad's like, my dad didn't think anything of it. But that's why my dad thought his own way. And that's why him and I always kind of butted heads. And I'm like, right. I told you, Dad, just leave the whole backyard clear for them. Let them dig their hole and get started. And they come back to pour the concrete. You can pour you a pad and pour you a concrete freaking patio. Forget the deck. You know, and you're done. You know, but so anyways, that was a little father and son story. Or this is another one. So real quick. So my dad's talking about putting this deck in, right? And my dad had this thing. My dad had three things. My dad hated my mom's candles because he always thought they were going to fall off the wall and burn the house down. My dad hated the fact of remember when shredded bark got really popular after rocks? My dad hated the fact of putting shredded bark down because he thought all the ants were going to come and infest the house.
Like mulch.
Yeah, exactly. And then his other one was drainage. He thought that, you know, if you put – he had to do something special for drainage. If not, it would flood the house. It was really weird. He had these, like, hang-ups, you know. Right. So he ended up building this deck, but he built the deck, like, in a bowl. So he didn't know what he was doing. He's not a carpenter by any means. He's a plumber. But so it looked like a bowl, and the bowl was pitched towards the house. So every time
– Towards the house.
Yeah, so every time it rained real heavy, it would flood – the water would, like, flood into the basement. Because it was so much, we had this huge deck in the backyard that was pitched like a bowl back towards the house, and it all just drained down the foundation wall. You know,
what was he thinking?
My dad was just like that, and that's why him and I were like always butting heads. I'm like, listen, this was an easier way to do this. But as he's putting the deck in, going back to drainage, he's like, he didn't want to take out the old patio that was there. He wanted to build above it. And he was like, we need drainage. I'm like, what do you mean you need drainage? I go, you're building the deck, stuff will just drain, you know, whatever.
It just falls, yeah.
So instead of having
it at a very low, slight angle, and
pitch it back towards
away from the house.
Exactly. So instead of having, he wanted pea gravel put down. Instead of calling like a landscape yard to come dump like 5 yards of pea gravel, he's got this brand new blazer that he had from work, brand new. And we had to go to this deli that was friends of ours. They owned a deli and pick up like 20 pickle buckets, big 5 gallon pickle buckets, drive over to the landscape yard, shovel in pea stone into the pickle buckets, into this brand new small little blazer, brand new, drive it back to the house, dump it in the driveway, and go back and do it again like 5 times instead of just having a landscape company come out and just dump 5 yards in front of the driveway.
If you're going to bring them back, you shouldn't just – if you got them in pickle buckets, you just carry the pickle buckets and dump them where you need them.
Yeah.
Instead of handling them twice.
Yeah, and that's maybe what we did. But it was a simple fact that we spent like 3 days going just back and forth. When he could have spent like $40 and just had to fucking deliver it.
Yeah.
And that's why my dad and I never saw eye to eye. And I don't know. He wasn't – I don't even know. It was crazy.
There's a certain like level of, I want to do it all myself kind of thing.
Yeah.
I am very much like that myself, but I also know that there's a trade-off between how long is this going to take me if I do it all myself yeah. versus is it worth the extra $50 to pay somebody to do it right?
Yeah.
And then I don't have to worry about it. And I can, you know, so there's, you got to do your research and you got to find where that balance is. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'll do, you know, instead of buying, you know, 5 yards of mulch for my backyard for the various places I want to put it, I'll yeah. buy the, you know, when the stuff goes on sale, I'll buy 40 bags of it for, you know, $2 a bag or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's just as good. And then I have the bags and I can stick them off to the side and I put them, and then I can do it when I want. But, you know, there's going to come a point where it's like, yeah, I don't feel like moving all these bags in and out of my van, you know,
right.
I'm just going to have a guy dump it.
Yeah.
Just do it that way. But it comes down to how big is the job that you really need to do and how much is it really going to take me to do this versus, you know, what is my time worth?
Yeah. My
Could
dad
be doing something else.
My dad
Could
roughed
be sleeping. Could be resting.
My dad roofed the house himself. He stripped the whole old roof off.
Well,
and re-roofed it all by himself. Mm-hmm. That's when we weren't talking, but he was just one of those guys. And he knows in his head he probably saved $1,000 to do it himself, but he didn't care. It was $1,000, you know. And it was like it meant that $1,000 meant a lot to him.
But the other thing about that is yeah, that's $1,000 that he saved.
Yeah,
but he also then did it the way he wanted.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
You know,
that's
and he gets to know the roof and do that. That it, and he probably has a skill that is comparable that he could do that. He probably did a really good job. Me, I can't get up on a roof because gravity. Gravity and I have problems. anything over two stories or even actually,
you guys got a colonial, don't you?
Yeah, but if I looked, I got up on a ladder to do something in the pitch of on top of the garage and in the top corner, and I'm standing on the garage, which is one story, and it's the top corner of the second floor, and I'm comfortable because the pitch of the garage is okay. I can do that.
Yeah.
And I'm putzing around up there, and I'm leaning against the wall because me and gravity are no fun. I get that vertigo stuff, and I'm afraid of heights. You know, I've parachuted. I've done all
you
sorts
parachuted?
Of stuff. Yeah, I've done all sorts of stuff.
Well, how do you parachute and be afraid of being on a roof? Like, I could never imagine. I want to parachute. I want to get over that fear. But being on a roof doesn't really bother me. We used to build homes. We were 3 floors up and putting up walls and stuff, but because we were over a walkout basement. But to be in a plane, like going, okay, there's 15,000 feet below me or, or 30 or whatever.
We went out at 15,000. We were over in
You didn't have to fucking throw me out.
No, that was fine because I was strapped to a dude who knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, I'm just going on for the ride. And, you know, that was not the concern for me. The concern for me is when, you know, because I look at it this way. When you're in a parachute, you've got with the dude strapped to you who knows what he's doing, you essentially have – that's a safety net, more or less. A lot less because, you know, there's always that chance the chute doesn't open and you bounce.
Sure.
But you at least have the option and a secondary chute and, you know, whatever. But when it comes to getting up on a roof, if you fall 10 feet from a roof, you can snap your back, man.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know.
And it's just, I don't know. There's something weird in like the huge heights. I'm not so concerned with. You know, although when I was at the Cliffs of Moher in Ireland, I had to lay down and crawl to the edge to look over the edge.
Yeah.
I was not comfortable walking up to the edge. And there's just, you know, I mean, and that's a huge height. But again, it's like there's no safety net.
Well, I did the Sears Tower and I did Empire State Building.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do both of those?
I believe I was on – I did – I went up to – I was in one of the trade towers.
Oh, okay, okay.
And that was years and years and years and years ago, obviously. But that was very uncomfortable.
Yeah, when I went to the – Sears was the first one I went to.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got off the elevator, I could you see the windows that wrap around the, mm-hmm. the top, their top floor. Mm-hmm. And I was like half steps all the way. I knew I could get to the window, but what happens right. is my knees start to knock because I have that anxiety, you know, that fear of heights. Yeah. But once I get there and hold on to something and sit there for like a minute, I'm fine. But it's that I don't do this all the time. I'm not sure what to expect. I'm looking down and like everything looks like an ant. But and then the Empire State Building we went to at night, and we got these VIP tickets from this Irish pub called PG King's. It's the oldest Irish bar in New York City.
Oh, yeah, and PG King's.
We hit it off with the bartender, and mm-hmm. she's like, well, where are you guys going next? We're like, oh, we're going to take a run over to the Empire State Building, which is just down the street, and we're going to come back. And she's like, well, here, take these VIP passes and bring them back to me, and that will get you into the express elevator. So we go up the express elevator.
To take the express elevator.
Going to take the express elevator. And it'll be a lovely trip. Probably, a few minutes to get up to the top? Yeah. But it's kind of like you're packed in and you're banging around with some people and, you know, you get a little nervous. And then the doors open once it stops, and then you get the pressure difference. And we walk out. I think you walk out into the area where the little tchotchke area, the shop, you know. And then you walk through the doors to go outside,
right?
And then it's all fenced off. But again, from like the door from the gift shop to the wall to the outside of Empire State Building is probably, I don't know, 10, 20 feet. And I had to walk slow. But once I got to the edge and just hold on to the fence and I can look down, mm-hmm. it takes like a minute or two and I'm okay. Then I can walk around and get comfortable with it. But jumping out of a plane, a completely different story. I don't know if I could do it. I might. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if. I don't know. I want to try it. I want to do it. I certainly can't do it at my potato size that I am. But I know that you got to be with a certain amount of weight. Like, and it's like, isn't it under 200 pounds or 220?
I have no idea.
You can't be heavy and do it. So.
Well, when we went, I think I was probably 25 or 26 when I went.
So you're probably buck 80.
Yeah, if that. Yeah. But, you know, they give you the training and everything, and they're like, yeah, you're going to – it's a tandem jump. You got to be strapped to this dude. And, you know, they go through this an hour and a half of training of what to do there, what to do here, how to do this, and more stuff than I'm even going to know because I'm just strapped on for the ride more or less. But they have to do all that stuff by law, which I get. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, the guy goes, do you have any questions? And there was like six of us there going on this trip. And, you know, the one gal we were with said one thing and a good question. And the other guy that, you know, her husband is like, you know, this, that, and the other. And it was a good question. And they kind of all looked at me because, like, I was the one who didn't do it ever before.
Right, right.
And I just go, yeah, I got a couple questions. Which one of you is my guy?
Right.
And I looked at it. They're like, you're going with me. This guy raises his hand. You're going with me.
Right.
Says, okay. Well, I go, so I got some questions for you. Who packed your chute?
Yeah.
He says, I do. I says, you pack one of those extra things? Yeah. I says, all right. Now here's the most important question. Are you happy with your life?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm about to, you know, you pack your own chute. You know, if you pack your own chute and you're not happy with your life, maybe you're
– Those are good questions.
That's all I wanted to know. That's all I needed to know. I figure I'm going for the ride. The guys – how many times you done this? A lot. Okay.
Right.
You like your life. You packed your own chute. Let's go.
You got bankruptcy?
Yeah.
Man, that's funny. That's
right.
Funny. So, you asking those questions.
It's just funny. Anyway.
That sounds like some dope questions. I don't know. I heard I was reading some statistics on Tecumseh, and Tecumseh does not have a good record here in Michigan to go skydiving. They're one of the ones that are rated higher as far as, I don't want to say fatalities, but having problems. It's something I've always wanted to do. But honestly, between me, you, and the fence post, it'll probably never happen. I can go. My mom bought a Corvette, or she leased a Corvette years ago, back in 1997. And some people are terrified of going fast in a car. For me, it's
nothing. I could do that.
Yeah, and I got to about 150, and the car kind of started to lift and move around a little bit, made me nervous because I didn't want to lose control. But you know, 150 in the car, it's as fast as I ever went, and that's cool. I don't need to really go any faster. If I did, it was in a better car, but you know, motorcycles don't bother me, nothing like that. But jumping off an airplane, I haven't really kind of warmed up to that one yet.
That's all right.
Yeah, but
you don't need to. You don't really need to warm up to it. It's nothing. You know, there's not the bucket list is not a requirement.
No,
your bucket list is allowed to be different than everyone else's bucket list.
Yeah, my buddy Jason said it kind of changed his life a little bit. He got over some of the, you know, like when you're, I don't know how you say it. It's, you know, like when you keep thinking about doing things, you never do them. You finally do it, and it gives you all that confidence, you know, so to speak.
Yeah.
He says he kind of got a new inspiration on life after he did it.
And, okay.
But anyways, regardless, what else is shaking? What else you got?
I got nothing, man. I'm exhausted. I want to go to bed.
No, we got another 29 minutes before you go to bed.
Yes, dear.
What's up, Jake? I wonder if Jake's ever going to skydive.
Critter.
Ooh. Critter.
There's that eight-legged spider.
Yeah, what's up with the eight-legged spider? I was reading up on...
You know, this is where this came from.
Mythology
and
all that.
I'm at work. I don't remember what day it was. Whatever day it was that I emailed you that. So maybe Friday or Saturday. A few days ago. I don't even know what days are anymore. But so I'm at work. And there's like this great big wolf spider all of a sudden right under my desk.
Really?
I roll my chair back and I look and boom, right there. And I got my flip-flops on. So I'm like freaked out.
You don't want to butt your toe.
Well, you know, here I am just like totally wigging out on a spider, which, you know, I mean, it was a big one, but he was, you know, his silver dollar size. You know, so it was a big, and, you know, he squished real nice, which was great. But
you killed him?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, spiders outside, I don't bother them. Spiders in my house, spiders inside near where I'm actually physically at, dead.
What about light tissue and toss them outside?
No, dead. Right. Dead spider.
It. All right, I got it.
You're inside my house, you're dead. Outside my house, you're where you're supposed to be. Inside my house, dead. Dead.
All right, I got you.
Don't care, dead.
Yeah, you don't want those things crawling inside your mouth or nothing when you're sleeping.
Yeah, whatever. That doesn't freak me out. Nice try.
It doesn't? That's what I worry about.
No, but looking at the furry face of the guy right in front of me wigs me out. So this happens, and, you know, scrunch, done, wipe, gone. But I, you know, had the willies like the rest of the day, like, you know, just, and the thought, you know, because me and my historical anthropology thought process and all these, you know, weird, my brain does all sorts of things. So the thought came to mind, you know, how did it evolutionary occur? How many times did a human have to get bit by a spider and die before it became ingrained in us as, you know, evolving monkeys into so that we, or was this, is there a monkey thing? Is it a part of the monkey gene, or is it something we evolved as humans? Because there's, you know, great apes that are afraid of spiders, I think. But then it came down to, well, that's just an interesting question in my head. And then I was thinking, well, excuse me, could that have been where, like, the origin of base 8 math? Because if our brains figured out 8 legs bad, then maybe 8 legs became the basis for something. And then the number 8, and then we figured out how to count 8. And so we knew 8 legs was bad, and we could recognize, and then we could count. And so, you know, this whole process of evolving into, you know, and I'm just wondering, where would this have come from? How would this come about? And then, you know, the whole idea of, well, that's where base 8 math came from, because it would only make sense that, you know, spiders would, we learned how to count because you wanted to live, so the ones who could count to eight lived.
Because you all spiders have eight legs. You don't?
Yes, they are arachnids, eight-legged spiders.
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't know.
I believe also, what do you call those? The little scorpions. I believe scorpions are also eight-legged.
Hmm. Interesting. I never really thought of a scorpion as a spider family, but
I think they're arachnid types, arachnid some or others. I don't even know. If I really wanted to know, I would have looked it up.
I know. And
since I did absolutely no research on any of this stuff today, I thought I'm going to let Eric tell me all about this base 8 shit because you found some kind of psycho ancient Greece thing or something. What did you come across?
Did you read that?
I saw your text or whatever it was. I'm like, oh, that's just goofy, weird. Bring it on, brother.
Bill and I sit down for Mosquito Side Chat, discuss the goddess Neith, the spinner of all destinies. I thought you might appreciate that. And she had a cousin, fourth cousin, Babylonian Ishtar.
Right.
I thought about it for a while. I read about it a little bit and trying to figure out where you're going with all this. And
that's where that's how it came out. It was like, anthropologically speaking, would it have made sense that we learned how to count because the things that kill us have this many legs, or the things that hurt us have this many legs, and things that don't, and I just thought, well, that would make sense, but again, no research whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure somebody's done a paper on it somewhere, but
I have a friend that is has a fear of spiders, and she actually tapes her doors at night because she's worried that they'll crawl in between the cracks of the doors. And I don't get it. I don't have a fear. I could understand having a fear of heights because we spend 99% of our time on the on the ground.
Right.
I used to have a little fear of flying, but once you fly a little bit, you've flown a ton of time. If you're up in the air and something happens, you're not going to know. You're going 600 miles an hour. It's going to rip you to pieces. I mean, why even worry about it, right? A little turbulence, right, whatever.
You're alive, you're dead.
Right, exactly.
And somewhere in between the last alive and the dead, you get that split second of going, oh, shit.
Right,
and it's done.
Exactly. Maybe we can focus on it too late. But, and that's kind of the way I've gotten over that over the years. I used to, I flew when I was living on the East Coast quite a bit, but spiders, I don't really understand. I mean, and it's interesting you brought it up because some people just don't like them. And I worry, like, if I was living, say, in a desert or somewhere and living in a tent or some kind of, whatever, that they might crawl and get my mouth or something like that, or my ear or nose or something. But other than that, that's about it. I mean, I kind of dig spiders.
In Michigan, we don't have a lot of, we'll kill you spiders.
No, I think we just have the one recluse, right?
Yeah, the brown recluse. Yeah. And I think you can find a black widow once in a while.
Oh, okay.
But, most of the time, spiders are just, crawling around doing stupid shit. But like I said, you're outside, Mr. Spider. 90% chance you're going to survive if I see you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not interested in hurting you.
They say it's bad luck to kill a spider.
Well, they're stupid. but if, especially if you got a good web near the light and you're catching mosquitoes, I'm all good for you, spider. You keep going, man.
Okay, I got one for you. I got one for you.
If you're in my house, dead.
I got you. It's funny you bring this up, and I kind of put it into our little subject line here. It just kind of dawned on me, but let me ask you this.
Okay, ask me this.
Why is it that, we both live in the suburbs, and I think we both agree that being out in the woods is a beautiful, beautiful time to explore, and it's got beautiful scenery and lakes and rivers and trees and rocks and whatever all over Michigan. It's beautiful anywhere you go. But why is it, why does whoever created a mosquito, why is it that damn mosquito's got to ruin it for everybody? I can be in the middle of Antarctica, and I'd get bit by fucking 50 mosquitoes. I cannot.
And that's actually true because mosquitoes are not a hot weather animal all the time.
Oh,
there are mosquitoes in very cold places.
Is there really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I was just making a joke.
No, no, but you would still get bit because mosquitoes are it's because there was an insect that evolved in a way that it could, you know, suck the blood out of somebody, and it, you know, it just evolved that way. You know, there was no it was not created.
I love the fact of I don't like the fact of camping. I love the fact of maybe pulling a fifth wheel or having some kind of, like, you know, where you can take a truck and a fifth wheel or a RV and camp that way with a big, you know, fire pit and cook and grill out and all that. But I'm not a big camper as far as, like, tents. But I can spend zero time in the woods at night because whether it's the CO2 or whatever they're attracted to, I just I get bit, like, beyond belief. They love me. They love me.
Everybody's like, blood is so sweet.
I know, what my mom tells me. They're like, well, you know, you gotta eat more garlic. You gotta, you know, wipe, you know, horse shit on you or something, and they all go away. No way. There's no way. I used to, when my parents had a pool in the backyard, there was two tables we used to sit around.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us would get bit on the ankles and on the back and all that. So what I did is I bought a bunch of oscillating fans. And I'd put them on high.
Yeah.
And I'd put them down at our feet and blow all the air out. Yeah, I know we get bit, but I can't. I don't know. You probably the biggest ones would fight through it and get me, but I just can't figure out why. I mean, I think mosquitoes probably they do a good job of what they do, but man, it just really kind of fucks shit up, you know?
They serve no purpose, and they are essentially food for spiders.
Yeah, they're a carrier of malaria.
Yeah, disease of all sorts. Diseases.
Yeah.
Yeah, diseases of all sorts.
Maybe that was just God's way of you know,
God controlling
population.
He didn't have anything to do with it.
he doesn't give a shit. No, I don't think he does.
Actually, she doesn't give a shit. that should throw some apologetics people crazy.
Right, right.
Yeah.
No, I just I don't know. It's I'm actually I got invited. I've been invited twice now. I didn't go this last time, but some buddies of mine go up to Ontario, Canada, and I'm talking Ontario way up, 17 hours north of Detroit.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
Yeah, you and they go
drive and fly and walk.
Yeah, they drive 17 hours, and then it's a 40 hour. It's a 40-minute trip on a seaplane, and they drop you off in the middle of nowhere at these cottages. And you basically live off the land for 5 days. And I'm like, I don't like fish. I'm like, you know, I mean, I can fish, but I don't like to eat fish.
Give me a bag of chips and a dead cow and I'm going to be okay.
Right, right.
Well, I'm going camping, I think, in the next couple of weeks with some of the monkeys around here.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're like tent camping. And I'm like, fine, whatever, dude. I don't care. I'm, you know, sleeping on the ground, and you know these are, you
know, well, air mattress, of course, air mattress helps.
Well, I don't know, but they have apparently by the campground we're going to, there's a gun range nearby, and you know, one of the guys is a cop, the other one's a fireman, and you know these guys all have guns, and I'm like, all right, well, whatever, and I'll go shoot some guns with you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't own any, but I don't mind shooting them. I'm actually got pretty good aim. And yeah. I don't mind doing it, but it's not like I'm going to be a gun owner. I don't see myself as a gun owner.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm too laid back, and and I have fits of rage that last about 4.8 seconds, and the last thing I need is to have a gun in the house.
Yeah, especially when they tow your car away from McDonald's in Detroit.
Are you ever going to let that go?
No, not really.
I let it go. I paid the fine. I'm never going to see the money again.
It was just for the simple fact that you were upset about it. You were very upset.
Oh, I was very
funny. I don't find you upset all that often. So,
yeah. Well, you know, I hate bullies, liars, and cheats. And this particular towing company, liars and cheats, and there's a lot of bullies that I could mention. I'm not going to get into. But I don't like bullies, liars, and cheats.
Yeah, yeah. No, I got you. So, I got you. What else was I going to ask you?
Well, you were going to go into this history thing of this crazy whatever research you did. Or did you just make that shit up?
Number 12?
For the number 12 or 8 or whatever the hell you were thinking.
You said 8 and I said 12. I've read some stuff about 12. I think we could probably go through and guess quite a few number 12s and they're how they're associated with different things.
Different mythologies and different
I just
things
find
that
it,
aren't actual facts. But go on.
I find it very interesting. I don't know. Maybe
I was thinking of those 12 guys around a table. But that's just
12 disciples.
Yeah. Jeez. Oh, dude! I saw probably the most irreverent and hilarious movie ever. If you can tolerate reading a movie because it had subtitles. It was in Italian, I think.
Yeah.
It's called The Last Hangover.
The Last Hangover.
Yeah. And it's all about the Last Supper.
Yeah.
And instead of, going off to the Gethsemane or whatever, they just get really drunk and throw this crazy wild party. And what Jesus ends up conjuring a lion, and just it's just like the craziest shit ever.
Is this a newer movie? Is there it's like a spoof on
it's a spoof on the Hangover,
the movie,
The Last Supper.
Interesting. Yeah. How do you find this stuff?
Well, it was on Netflix, and I saw it, and I'm like, well, this looks irreverent, and you know me, I love irreverent.
Oh yeah,
any that's your middle I name. Irreverent. I want to be irreverent because it's makes life interesting. So, I watched the thing. And I'm like, oh, that's hilarious. But I find reading movies to be very, I'm old and my eyes are bad. So,
yeah,
reading a movie can be a pain in the ass.
You know, I saw this movie called The Hidden Life. Remember, my mom and I went and saw it Christmas Eve, I think, this last year, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think it had subtitles. It was a great movie. It's a long movie. It's kind of like maybe a movie for you and your wife, you know, maybe a bottle of wine or something, nice dinner, and just kind of kick back. It's a love story, and it is about – I think I've told you about this before. And it's about kind of – I don't want to give it away, but –
give it away. I'm never going to see it.
Yeah, it's about this Austrian family that lives in a small town, and
the hills husband, were alive with sound
yeah,
music.
The husband's called upon to fight in the war with the Nazis, and he's against war, and he's against what the Nazis believe in, mm-hmm. and it's just a big discussion about with his wife and with the priests and religion and with the Nazis themselves and what the right thing to do is and whatever. And it's interesting and it's a good long movie. It's very well done. It got rated very, very well. You can pick it up on, I don't know if it's on Netflix or not, but I think you can pick it up on Prime, Amazon Prime and a couple other ones, but it's called The Hidden Life. It's really good. It's a great little love story. And, but anyways, putting that aside, what was I supposed to say? Oh, the number 12.
Yeah. Give me your research on 12.
Well, I think your research is about as deep as mine, but there's 12 months in a year, right?
Last I checked.
And there's 12 hours. In the face of an analog, I'm reading this off something off a fact site. So there's 12 hours in the face of an analog clock. There's 12 inches in a foot.
Mm-hmm.
A dozen is a quantity that means 12. Gross is 12 dozen. In astrology, there are 12 signs in the zodiac. In the Bible,
doesn't mean anything. The astrology is.
In the Bible, Jacob has 12 sons. Right. Jesus has 12 disciples.
Right.
12 tribes were started after Moses led his people out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. And it goes on and on and on. And I find it kind of interesting. We have see, the there are 12
so pairs. So basically what you're saying is except the humans, the human peoples assigned a certain meaning to this number 12, and then now it's special. Because we've assigned a meaning to it.
I don't know if there's a meaning to it, but it just seems it comes up quite a bit, but maybe, I don't know. I don't know. Any thoughts?
Nope. It's all superstitious bullshit.
I got you. I thought you had a little bit more to say.
You know me and superstition.
But you don't have to. No, no. No, no. I did watch, a documentary by Dr. Stephen Greer called Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. I just watched that the other night. It's all about aliens.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I'm sure you'd probably be interested to hear about that.
So tell me something about aliens. Go ahead, Eric.
No, it's almost to the point where, yeah, no, it's beyond all that. It was almost deeper than I want to get into because it's a little bit hard to digest, but you just have to watch it and take out of it what you want. But I have more interest in the number 12 and there's some other let me see that in the Bible. You know, there was some the pyramids. The pyramids had some numerology, I guess if you call it. Is that what you call it, numerology? That was consistent, like the widths of the pyramids and what they equaled. It was like, I think the widths of some of these pyramids were 365 cubits. And then obviously we have 365 days in a year. And there was some other stuff too. And it just
the pyramids were built by superstitious people. So they're going to do superstitious stuff.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. I find that if you're going to build something,
then the numbers work. And it's there's a term for this, pareidolia.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah, we've talked about pareidolia, and that's a lot of what goes on with this. Is our brains are hardwired to make sense of things. Our brains are hardwired to see things and do stuff with it that makes it so we can understand.
Right, right.
And so when you look at a cloud, you'll see shapes in the cloud that you recognize. If you've never seen a particular shape before, you won't see that shape in the clouds.
No, I know, but I think I get what you're saying, and we talked about this before. I think you're pushing the envelope a little bit, but
why?
You know, we'll do this. I'm going to have you research a little bit, and I know you probably don't care, but I'm going to force you to research it.
Yes.
The layout of the pyramids that have been found up until today, they follow very specific longitude and latitude lines, very, very specific. And they meet in a certain cross. It's not, they're not random. I mean, they were built this way. It's proven. They're built this way for a reason. And I'm just curious about, were they built this way?
I don't buy it.
Oh, I know. I got Hobo. You know, Hobo, if you got something to say, dial in, because I find this stuff really interesting. I've watched Ancient Aliens now for like the last 5 years.
Guy is a lunatic.
I've seen red orbs before. Bill is the hardest one to convince. But Hobo, if you got...
There's no factual basis for any of this stuff.
Yeah, just a place like 3,000-4,000 years ago. It's going to take some time. And Hobo's saying pattern seekers, but there's a reason. And there's a lot of things.
Our brains are hardwired to see patterns. You're exactly correct, Hobo. And thanks for joining the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
But it's funny when when we start talking about this shit, it's like, I don't know. I just think it's hilarious because there's no factual basis for these ley line things. It's essentially, tell me longitude and latitude. Where did that come from?
I'm a visual guy. I'd have to show you. I've seen it.
I have seen what you're explaining to me. I've watched the stuff about ley lines and the goofy people that think that this is actual. But the latitude and longitude are lines. They're not mythical, but they're abstract lines that we have placed in order for us to be able to navigate better. And just because these items happen across these lines isn't meaning that they were built on these specific lines, because the lines didn't exist when they were made.
You're stretching there, Bill. You're stretching.
No, I'm not stretching. Give me the facts.
I have to show you the facts. I can't. It's so hard to explain not being able to show it to you. And it's not that I would convince you if I showed it, but you'd understand. Right. It's almost
like I have seen.
Soccer ball. A soccer ball has a pattern to it, okay? Mm-hmm. And let's say every soccer ball has that pentagonal pattern to it, okay?
Right.
It's not – the pattern's not the same pentagonal pattern, but it has the same kind of meaning behind it. In other words, everywhere where it crosses, there's a pyramid. And it's not that it's – so many thousands of miles off, it's on that dot. It's all been laid out. And if all that is true, I just, like I said, I find it extremely interesting. Like, just
it's
because
it's not something that's that, so, okay, so it's interesting. That's great. What can we determine from it?
That pyramids were not built as a burial ground, like we've been told for the last 100 years. They think it's something else, and they think that there are powerhouses, but they're not sure exactly.
So why these explain to me where the energy comes from, and well, there's and been a fair amount. Can we measure the energy?
Well,
has the energy ever been measured? No,
there's been a fair amount of mercury. There's been a fair amount of mercury found in a lot of these pyramids.
Yeah, because mercury was a material that was used back then before they figured out that it kills you.
Yeah, but if it's 4,000 years ago and you're dealing with mercury, where are you extracting the mercury from to get it in its raw form and putting it in these pyramids to possibly power up a grid to allow maybe travel? I have no idea. Yeah. You tell me. Why would you be messing around with mercury?
I don't know, because they didn't know any better, and they were trying stuff. We are a superstitious creature.
You don't put a shovel in the ground.
Humans are superstitious.
You know?
Humans are a superstitious creature. That's all there is to it. We are going to find a way to – and it's just, you know, whatever.
No, you know, I know you want to close the door on this stuff, but
– No, I don't. We could talk about it all night. There's nothing to it because there's no energy. Show me how we can measure the energy. Show the energy being measured for whatever they're saying that is actually supposed to be happening. There isn't any.
Yeah, but we're kind of, in a sense, reverse engineering all this stuff. So it takes a little while. But
there should be some residual form of whatever, you know, if these were powerhouses or travel, whatever you say they are, there should be some way that we could measure the energy output. But
right,
there is none. There is
we haven't gotten there yet. I understand completely what you're saying. I respect that, but I don't think they've gotten there yet. Maybe it's a super clean energy that doesn't leave, like we're used to things burning where coal burns and leaves a residual byproducts or gasoline or whatever.
But there's even the residual. Where's the energy?
Well, we know it was from gold, and we know it was from mercury, and it was a couple other ones too. What do they know? I apologize. I'll say we know, but that's what they've come to conclude, is that gold was something that somebody mined it for many, many years. It was a very hot commodity, and so was mercury.
Right.
And You don't find mercury in the water.
How do they generate the energy from that?
I don't know.
That's what I'm trying to get at, because
you're
telling me that these things have, you know, they're on ley lines and they have this energy and this it's all woo.
You know what we need to do, Bill? You know what we need to do is we need to transfer this podcast over to video podcast so I could pull it up and show you.
That's what we need to do.
That would change a whole. That'd change a lot.
Yeah, it would be me going, wow, you found this really twisted resource of this guy who has no scientific basis whatsoever. And, oh, look, it's another YouTube whack job.
Well, so let me ask you this. All this new information coming out about UFOs or whatever they're calling them now. They got different names for
them.
Oh,
there's new information now? Hey, Hobo, thanks for sharing the show. I appreciate it.
We love you for it.
Yeah.
Maybe
we'll get more than three people who are not related to us listening. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, we got to sound more optimistic than that. We've got
seven.
We're coming across the milestone, almost 500 downloads. That's got to mean something in 30 podcasts.
It means there's at least six people that are entertained by us and keep downloading our shit.
Right.
What are you telling me about UFOs? Something new?
No, actually, I'm not. I'm not telling you anything I haven't told you before. But there's a lot of new information coming out about UFOs. I'm gonna tell you right now, Bill.
Okay, tell me.
I'm sure we're gonna be talking for a while here, and I'm not saying in the immediate sense, but I'm saying in the next however many years. I think the mothership's gonna. I think we're gonna see the mothership. I really do.
So let me ask you.
I think in the next 10 to 20 years, they will land, and we will. They'll be not shaking hands, but communicating with them.
So here is, you know, I don't want to get too deep into probability let me walk you through a logical thought process.
Can I do this?
Can I go
see a man about a horse real quick and make a clear beer?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I know.
Whatever.
Can you sing or hum on the phone, or should I put some?
No. No. You don't get to do any of that stuff.
I don't want
to
have an accident. Go ahead.
Maybe we'll cut the show short so you can.
What do you mean short? We're already 2 minutes over. Keep going.
Yeah. So just follow the logic on this. So let's say we understand that the universe is well over 13 billion years old.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Our solar system is approximately 4.5 billion years old, or are you, or galaxy, yeah, or whatever the hell we're in.
It's a billion.
Four and a half billion. Or the Earth is like 4.5 billion. And so, you know, there's a lot of time there, right? Now, humans have come about in the last 30,000 years. Slowly but surely, we've developed into actual human beings. Okay. So 30,000 years out of 13.8 billion. Okay. So the odds of another, and mind you, the distances between our star and the closest star that may or may not have a habitable planet of any kind is, you know, 68 light years or whatever, or 130,000 light years. I don't know. It's far away, freaking far away. So
we can travel very fast.
Stop. Just follow me for a minute. So it's not so much the odds of the distance necessarily, because that is tremendously outside of the realm of possibility, the distances. Okay. But let's say they are able to overcome the distance issue, whoever, right? The other question you have to ask yourself, of the 13.8 billion years, how many times has a life form capable of stellar travel or interstellar travel or whatever come about? And is it during the same 10 years that you're thinking it's going to happen that they show up here? Because I'm thinking if there was some, you know, on a distant side of the galaxy
you know, 80 million light years away or whatever. And they developed their own, and they traveled to different planets and stuff like that within there. But that was 800,000 years ago. And
yeah,
that civilization is now defunct. Or their planet died and they moved to the next planet and they're moving to the next planet. How, what are the actual odds that we are going to be alive at the moment some other capable civilization is able to do what we think they could do and still meet with us? Because, you know, even if we last another,
you're struggling.
Couple, I know you. We last a couple
million. We'll be lucky to last another like 1,000. The way we're going.
So let's say the end of humanity is 1,000 years from now. Well, what are the odds that during that last 1,000 years, there's going to be of the 13 billion. It's numbers. But you see where I'm getting at.
Yeah.
The odds that there's two civilizations capable of interstellar travel at the same time within a location near enough each other that they can get to each other. You know, I'm not saying that there's no chance that there's no life elsewhere. The odds are ridiculous that there must be life somewhere else.
Sure.
And I'm fine with that. But are we going to be able to find that life within the next 1,000 years? You know,
well, what happens if it's already here? What happens if it's already here? We don't even know.
Well, but
we don't know that, right?
How? I mean, what would give you the idea that there is?
Well, aside from watching Ancient Aliens, because that's where I get the majority of my information from, and the documentaries that I've watched.
Right, because those aren't actual documentaries. Those are psychotic ramblings of a lunatic,
but
which just so happened to be on television. But go on.
Hold on. I understand your point, but hold on.
Yeah.
The evolution of the phone that takes videos,
right?
YouTube. You can't tell me that the over probably 20,000 videos that are out there that show orbs and show different things that are going on that are live from these phones, there has to be some kind of explanation. It's not the Russians got some kind of crazy plane and, you know, whatever, but it's happening all over the world all the time, every day. Michigan has got one of the highest concentrations of sightings. And also where the sightings take place the most is by nuclear facilities, and especially during wartime. And they track all this stuff. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, the mothership's coming, Bill. It's coming.
Whatever. I just, you know, with the advent of the cell phone and everyone having a camera handy,
yeah,
I'm surprised that the number of Bigfoot sightings has not increased at all. In fact, has decreased because everybody has a cell phone. Nobody's seeing Bigfoot.
Bigfoot's elusive.
Bigfoot doesn't exist.
Bigfoot exists.
There's no actual evidence for an actual
Bigfoot. Not yet, but he's elusive. He's quick.
Whatever.
There's very few of them.
Right.
But I've said this before. If I never would have saw those red orbs in the sky back in 2012, mm-hmm. I would probably be agreeing with you a little bit more. Okay. But when you see them, Bill, when you're sitting on your back porch or your front porch, and you're sipping on your scotch and all these things come across the sky, there are no Chinese glowing lanterns. There are no, like, Russian space capsules. There's something else.
Have you seen Mars in the sky? I've seen Mars in the sky.
Yeah, but that's like a
red orb.
It's a flicker.
It's a red orb.
You have to actually stare at it to make sure that it's Mars. You got to know where it's at.
Yeah, it's a red orb.
No, this is different. This is different.
Okay.
Next time you come over, we're going to have a red orb.
A red orbathon?
Night. Yeah.
We'll have a red orbathon. That'll
red
be fun.
Red orb podcast.
It'll be a red orbathon.
I told you that it happened twice. Over the Temple Mount, the holiest site in the world. Orbs came down right on top of it. I'm telling you.
Okay.
It's crazy shit.
And so them. Where are the orbs now if they came down right on top of it?
They're still here. I'm telling you, they're still here.
And where are they then?
Well, I don't know. They could be like parked somewhere or something, maybe in a cloud or maybe they went back in their wormhole. Jesus
Christ, on a popsicle stick. You're full
of
shit.
But yeah, it's conversation.
See, here's the thing.
I'm going to make you a believer, though. I'm going to make you a believer.
If it exists.
That's why I'm not bringing
it up. If it existed at one point for someone to videotape it, and you're saying there's enough of these sightings everywhere, then it should be findable, and we should be able to go, all right, well, let's fly a drone over there and get right next to it and video it, or let's shoot
it
down.
They have one in Los Angeles.
Where is it?
They did. It was like
catch one.
There was like 12 orbs.
Catch one for me.
Well, what are you doing, throwing that out there?
I don't know. Catch
one. Orbs, Bill. I don't know if you can catch an orb.
Yeah, it's because it's a manifestation of light that is not physical. It is a it's swamp gas. That's what I'm telling
you. I was wondering what you were going to say. Swamp gas.
I had to go there.
Swamp gas, swamp ass, had them both.
Hey, who's the Ralph William podcast?
I don't know.
Thanks for sharing our show, Ralph.
Yeah, thanks for listening and sharing our show.
Hey, man. Appreciate it.
I think we got a new follower. That's awesome. We'll have to jump on his podcast, who he's all about.
You know, and if there's anybody out there who's not related to us, it feels like calling in and weighing in on this bullshit that Eric's laying out. Feel free, because I need some defense here, because I love you, Eric, but, you know, sometimes you just buy into some shit that you shouldn't.
I'm telling you, Bill, the damn mothership's going to come. And if I get picked up by the mothership, you know where I'm going. I'm going right to your house.
That's fine. Come get me. Come get me. I want to see the mothership.
We're going to go do some time travel.
Okay. It'll be Bill and Eric's excellent adventure.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to get at.
Yeah.
You're crazy
and I love you.
Yeah, I love you too.
I want to bop you in the head sometimes, but you're still crazy and I love you.
I know. I wish you were a more of a believer. We're going to next time. I'm going to set it up. A lot of these shows have gone off YouTube. The videos have gone off YouTube, but there's still plenty of them out there. But we're going to have a little whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know how I can't do it. I know it's not physically or mentally possible to change your mind, but.
Well, I look at the red orb stuff and the UFO guy on that stupid show that you watch. I look at those guys and I give them the same respect that I give flat earthers. The earth is 6,000 years old and created in 6 days. I give them that same credence. No, it's not flat. And yes, it's 4.5 give or take billion years old.
Yeah.
So, wrong. You know where I'm going with that, but I give it the same credence because there's just not enough facts to support any of it. And
not right
seriously,
now.
Seriously, not right now. That guy on that ancient alien show,
the guy with the hair,
he is
the Greek guy.
With the goofy hair, he is a complete whack job. He's made a zillion dollars doing that stupid show, and good for him. But he's spreading falsities, and he should be shot and pissed on. But that's just me. I wouldn't do really it because I don't really like shooting guns at people. I prefer shooting targets because they don't die. You know,
I can appreciate your honesty.
He's just a. He might as well. I honestly.
They made a great show of it.
It's fabrication beyond belief. He might as well say at the end of his show, oh, yes, and by the way, the earth is flat.
No, he would never admit to that. He knows that much. He knows that much.
Right, because it's a globe, and he would have to be a fucking idiot. But oh my God.
Do you believe in the dark side of the moon?
What's wrong with the dark side of the moon?
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Because the moon is tidally locked with us?
Yeah.
And we always see the one
side? Do you think there's something on the dark side?
No. Why would there be? There's no atmosphere on the moon.
Yeah, wasn't it when we went and visited the moon, we put down a plaque and it had some writings on it and like welcome from America, blah, 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 and this is why we're here. And why would they do all that and leave it on the moon if that's in fact what they did?
Why does a guy write his name in the snow when he's pissing?
I don't have that much talent.
Oh, dude, I'm great at it. But seriously, it's the same idea.
You got more loopy loops. I got more cursive kind of writing. It's kind of tougher. I got to go left to right a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm straight up and down.
Yeah, you're pretty easy.
When I sign, it's a seismograph. but you know, that's really all it is. It's
all right, we'll expand
on it. Basically, we put that plaque down there because we're basically pissing on the moon.
Right.
You know, there's no atmosphere, so he couldn't whip it out and take a leak and write his name. So we had to put a plaque down.
What was I going to ask you? I don't know. I forgot.
I don't know.
Must not have been important. What? You got a busy week this week?
Probably. I don't know. I stopped paying attention. I'm over it. Yeah. I just go in. I figured I'm not going to have any weekends for the rest of the year.
Okay.
So I just go ahead and just keep
suck up
going.
That money. Yeah.
Well, we're just so busy. I'm just, all right. Well, I'll just keep doing my stuff. Whatever.
Yeah. Make the extra cash.
You know, sometimes it works out that I make extra cash. Sometimes it just works out that I barely get below my head below water. So
right.
Just almost barely breathing. And, you know, next day is, oh, here's 17,000 more things to do. All right. Great. Whatever.
Job security.
Don't care.
Job security. Take it, right?
Yes, dear.
Let's do this. Let's wrap it up. It's been just over an hour here. I think it was.
I'm sick of talking to you anyway.
Yeah. Well, let's. I'll talk to you here between now and Wednesday, and we'll come up with something that really interests our listeners here.
Nothing and, we ever talk about interests our listeners. It's just me and you shooting the shit.
Well, there's Hobo Chillin'. He's giving us a kind of a wave and a thumbs up. So I think he appreciates what we're talking about.
I thought that was the middle finger. That would have been better.
Like, get lost.
I
shut down the podcast, guys. You suck.
Yeah, you suck. Get out of here. Hobo, you're awesome, brother.
All right. Well, listen.
That's been Eric.
That's been Bill. It was nice chatting with you again. We'll
this
do this again on Wednesday.
This has been Low Standards and Pours.
It is Low Standards.
We have none.
Yeah, if you come up with something interesting for Wednesday, give me a shout and I'll get us prepped up for it. No, you know, give it some thought when you're at work.
The earth is bland.
It is.
Hey, all I'm saying is
all right.
Life is going to get back to normal because my Lions totally sucked wind, just like they always do. They're doing everything they're supposed to. Life is going to be back to regular standard operating procedures.
Hey, let me ask you a question. When the game started, did the cameras fixate on the guys kneeling down?
I don't know. I didn't. I was working.
Oh, okay.
I caught the last couple minutes of the third quarter and the fourth quarter just in time to watch them lose. And as I was getting through the third quarter, I'm like, "Wow, we're up 23-6.
Yeah,
this is going to be a great Bears comeback."
Yeah, right, exactly.
And then fourth quarter, the Bears
go Bears.
Did not disappoint. Yeah,
yeah.
They
go
just
Bears.
Did. They whatever. And I'm like, jeez. This is perfect. This is just how I expected it.
I know.
You know,
it's pretty pathetic.
Life is going to be normal again.
It's pretty pathetic.
So enough.
All right. Well, listen.
Yeah, I don't know if they were kneeling or not. Honestly, I don't care. I don't care. Do whatever you want. Play the game. Don't play the game.
I said you guys are cutting your own throats. All you idiots that make millions of dollars cutting your own throats because you can't separate the stuff from your job. I don't go to my job and kneel down. Why should you? I don't watch football so I can.
How often do they play the national anthem when you show up at work?
I don't know. I play it in my head. I'm there for a reason.
Yeah, you're there for a reason to do your thing. I'd be fine if they never played the national anthem at the beginning of a game again.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I'm tired of standing up, taking my hat off. Screw you. I want to sit down and watch a stupid game. Let the monkeys go dance in front of me for an hour, and then I can go home.
It's tradition. It's tradition.
Sometimes traditions need to die.
It's like
slavery. Slavery was a tradition for a long time.
Yeah, but
That had to go away.
Slavery in the National Anthem is a little bit different.
Not much.
What about what about when you go to school and you gotta recite the
Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance. Yeah, why should that go away?
Well, here's a question about the Pledge of Allegiance. Yeah. I'm curious why there's so many religious people, heavily religious people, who think the Pledge of Allegiance is a wonderful thing. Because if they read their book, their holy book, they would know that they're not supposed to have any false gods before their other god guy. Yeah. And by pledging to a flag, that's an idol. So Moses was pretty pissed off when they had the golden calf. Why is a flag more important? There's a certain line that, you know, and
you're way too deep, Bill. You're getting way too deep.
And that's okay, though, because I know stuff.
No, I know, but.
But my thought, the thought process. Don't interpret. But the thought process is, let's be consistent.
Yeah,
you know, but if you're gonna say your God is the best God ever and whatever and all this other stuff, well, then you shouldn't be saying the Pledge of Allegiance, because that's showing allegiance to a flag, to a country, which is not the God that you think is the end all be all. So you're being inconsistent.
It's tough.
No, it's not tough. It's a tough one to talk about with you. It's well, and you know me when I get fired up about talking about religion, because
no, I know
I find it's highly hypocritical. All the time.
I get it. I know it's that's why I said the two things I didn't want to talk about was religion and politics. But I respect your opinion. I know it always goes that way.
But here's the thing: when you and I are done, we still love each other and we're still buddies.
Big hugs.
My brother, who we cut down the tree with. He and I are politically diametrically opposed.
Yeah.
But whenever we talk about politics shit, he gets fired up. I get fired up. Mm. And then it's done. We hug it out and it's good because it's not him. It's the idea that I dislike.
Right.
And just because he has the idea doesn't mean I don't like him.
Oh, no. Right? I get that for sure. Yeah.
And you got to separate. And I think that's a lot of what's going on today is people are not being able to separate the idea from the people, because I have friends that I love very much who I think are crazy when they talk about their religious beliefs or their politics or this, that, and the other, these crazy things. And nothing is black or white.
No, I agree.
There's a crap load of gray.
Yeah.
And if I live in the gray, and I enjoy the gray.
Yeah.
It's fun because being in the gray means I can go, all right, well, I get that over there. That makes a little bit of sense. Not so much on some of these other things. And I go the other direction of the gray and some of this makes some sense. And you can float back and forth in the gray. If you live in the gray, life is so much more fun. If you're living in a black and white world, you are just setting yourself up for depression.
You know what? You know, it's a conversation for our time, but sometimes I think you're a little bit more black and white than you are gray. I think you're more the science behind things than you are maybe the spiritual side or the
I understand the spiritual side because I listen to it and I pay attention to it. It's not that I buy any of it, but I understand.
Right. I get that.
And I understand where people are coming from, and I don't disparage them unless they're taking advantage of people.
Right, you know, right. No, I understand exactly where you're coming from.
But you
it is. And it's smoking mirrors. It's cult. I get it.
Yeah, and I follow the science stuff because that's tangible, that's physical and real, and it when you piece it together, piece by piece, it all falls into place. And maybe we don't have every single hole filled to know everything, which we don't.
Sure.
But there's significant enough reality that we can look at and go, well, this makes sense because of these four things. We're missing the fifth thing, but we can derive the sixth thing because of the four that we know. We're missing the fifth, but we can figure out what the sixth is. We can follow
this,
and then we can find a cure to whatever that ailment is,
because I got you.
We can extrapolate and our brains work that way. So, you know, that's just, we could pick this up on Wednesday.
Yeah. Shoot down some notes. Let me know what you're thinking, and I'll put together a little yeah, I'll put together a little subject thing for us, and hopefully we'll pick up some more followers.
I'll freewheel it, and, you know. Excuse me.
It'll be your show again.
Oh, okay. You don't want to take any credit for this?
No, not at this point.
Yeah, this is a shit show. You don't want to deal with.
Well, you know what I'm looking forward to is fucking getting these bands back together and touring and going to see concerts and reporting on concerts and getting back to some of the things that we love to talk about. So, a lot of this is why this podcast exists. And I think we're both waiting on that. So, let's cross our fingers and hope that these guys start to tour again. But the way it looks like, it's not going to happen anytime soon. I tell you,
mm-hmm.
These numbers are all over the board now. So, I'm not too worried about it. I've had this little bug in my lungs for a while, and that's why I'm kind of hunkered down. But I'm ready next year, next spring, man. We gotta get out there and hopefully start seeing some shows.
Yeah, we're gonna go have some fun. It'll be great.
Yeah, maybe go see a road trip with Prince.
How awesome these different bands are, and who to go listen to and who not to.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm getting lost because if not, I'm gonna piss my pants.
Bye.
Yeah. See you later. Nice talking to you. And I'm talking to you Wednesday. See ya.
No, you hang up.
Talk to you later. No, goodbye.